We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This one is cooked, glazed, and ready to be sliced. As Atlanta goes up 3-1, Trae Young with 27-9. Bogdanovich checking a lot of boxes with 12 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. They really are true to Atlanta.
Okay. Well, that was fun. Got a 113-96 final. Knicks drop game 4. Now down 3-1 in the series after a game that was it was a strange game. You know, obviously very frustrating. I will have some overall thoughts in a second. What I will say is I don't think this final score was necessarily indicative of how they played. And I mean that purely from the perspective of I thought this is offensively I thought this is the closest that we've seen them play to the type of basketball that they've played over the latter half of the year for a full game. Defensively, they were sloppy as shit. Slacker Hero with the first comment, Super Chat, pain. Yes, a lot of pain today. A couple things before my overall thoughts on the game. One, I don't know what takes there are going to be on the Julius Randle flagrant foul. I'm really, really happy he did it. I thought the refereeing today was not the reason they lost, but I thought it was bad. And I thought the refs in general, the series have been horrible, as they have been all year. I'm happy he got the flagrant there. Two, I don't think the series is over. I was positive after the game on when's the last game they played? Friday. I was positive after the game on Friday. I maybe famous last words if they lose on Wednesday and this series ends in 5. But I'm not down yet. I don't think this one's over. I saw some. Look, this was a 8 point game. Excuse me. Midway through the third quarter with 5:15 left, this was an 8 point game. 7 point game with under 6 minutes left in the third quarter. And then the game got away from them, obviously. I also think it's important to note, for what it's worth, again, the three-point shooting, the Knicks shot 9 of 29 from 3. The Hawks shot 15 of 39 from 3. So it's a difference of 6 made threes, 18 points. The final score was 17 points. Maybe that's oversimplistic, but I really did think this was a game that was, for the most part, evenly played with one team hitting more of its threes and the other team not hitting more of its threes. And more particularly, I thought Atlanta, and this cannot be denied, for the every game except game two, made every big shot when they had to make every big shot, whereas New York missed every big shot when they needed to make every big shot. Obviously, New York's best players are still struggling. Julius Randle was 7 for 19. I'm going to talk more about him in a bit. RJ Barrett was 8 of 15. I thought he found some stuff. I thought Julius found some stuff as well. But overall, those were not the types of games that you needed from those guys. I am not blaming this loss on either of them. To me, this loss comes down to Reggie Bullock, 0 of 3 from deep. Emmanuel Quickley, 0 of 2 from deep, 0 of 3 overall. Reggie Bullock was over 0 of 4 overall. And Alec Burks, I thought, really did not play a good game. I thought when he handled the ball, he missed some open men. In addition to that, he was 2 of 6 from 3, 4 of 12 overall. I think if you have watched this team closely all year, you have seen that for when they win, one of those three guys, if not multiple of those three guys, you know, go off in a big way. And they have gotten nothing from any of them, with the exception of a few Reggie Bullock threes in game two. And obviously, Alec Burks had the very big game one. Derrick Rose, I thought, maybe ran out of a little gas. I can't very well blame him for having a quiet second half, because if it wasn't for him, yet again, in the first half, they would not have been in this game. As far as the defense, that's if you want to point to another reason that they lost the game other than the fact that they just could not hit a big three to save their life, I think they were sloppy on D. I cannot remember a game where we had so many blow-bys, where guys would just jump in the air, swatting, and then leaving, you know, whoever the shooter is to take either a wide-open three under the basket wide open shot under the basket or a wide open three behind the arc. That is not Knicks basketball. And I thought it was easily their sloppiest defensive performance of the playoffs. And I thought one of their sloppier defensive performances of the year. That said, they gave up 113 points. You could win a game giving up 113 points, but not when you're playing a team that's better than you and more talented than you. The Hawks were always going to be the more talented team in this series. The only question was whether they were going to be the better team in the series. They had been the better team in the series, because the Knicks have not let their or allowed their toughness to translate into the things that their toughness has translated into all year. We'll see if it lasts on Wednesday. Again, I'm still hopeful. I saw some good things tonight, or today. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. I think that's my overall thoughts on the game. If you're looking for someone to rant and rave and, you know, the Knicks laid down and they're failures and they're awful and this team is frauds and this, like, again, go to a different live stream. I'm still very proud of the team. I think what we saw today doesn't diminish anything that they've accomplished this year. Again, sloppiness is different than, you know, embarrassing or something. Like, I wasn't embarrassed to watch the team that played today. Maybe you were, and if you were, you know, I don't know. Maybe we have different standards. I didn't think this was embarrassing. The score was embarrassing. And again, it was sloppy. And they miss a lot of open shots. And they miss some easy shots. And Julius Randle cannot buy one around the rim, to the likes of which I think I couldn't have imagined before this series started. But I don't think they went out there and gave an embarrassing effort tonight. I thought they just got their ass kicked. And while that may seem like picking nits, I do think there is a difference. All right, let's get to some Super Chat stuff. Duran Visual Variant. If we lose this series, I put the last on Tibbs more than Randall. Guys, I'm sorry. Tibbs coached a great series? No, he hasn't. Is he the one, you know, missing the threes and allowing, you know, the threes with the sloppy defense that we saw today? No, he's not. He was outcoached. Only adjustment he made was starting Rose. Never tried to expose Trae on D. He's trying to expose Trae on D. It's just not in very obvious ways, because, again, for him to expose Trae on D, he needs to switch up the personnel. They don't have that personnel. They don't have wings to do that. That's not like you saw him quickly, Burks, Reggie Bullock. None of these guys are doing a blessed thing off the dribble. None of them. That's why Reggie Bullock is, you know, a guy who's seen however many teams he's seen over his career. Alec Burks was available for $6 million. Emmanuel Quickley was available with 25th pick in the draft. At some point, it comes down to personnel. You cannot out-coach your personnel. I understand that that's frustrating to accept, And I'm not saying he hasn't maybe there's not more on meat on the bone, but to say that, you know, Tibbs has lost this series, that's, you know, the team that was picked to win 21 and a half games lost the series because their personnel is what it is. And in a playoff series, at some point, you need to rely on people to do special things. And guess what? The reason the Hawks are winning this series 3-1 is because they have a player who can do really special things in Trae Young, and the Knicks don't have that player. Anyway, Dom Cornelius, adjustments aside, we have to make shots. Yes, we do. The difference between Bullock and Bogey shooting is a big reason for the loss. Massive difference. Absolutely massive difference. What was Bogey today from three? 4 of 9 from three. He took 9, he made 4. Bullock took 3, made 0. Difference in the game. Big. You want to talk about a personnel difference in the game, there's your personnel difference. And that's why one guy got paid 4 years, $72 million. And the other guy, you know, he'll get a couple of bucks a season. He'll get, you know, 2 years, 15 or whatever. But there's a reason why Reggie Bullock is Reggie Bullock and Bogdan Bogdanovic is Bogdan Bogdanovic. Jeremy E., thanks for everything you do. Anytime. Although I'm not sure anybody's going to like me by the time I get done today. Nice to see RJ bounce back. I thought that was huge. I thought he found some stuff. I thought, I think moving forward, we're going to see a better version of RJ, which is why one of the reasons I remain hopeful in this series. I'm not giving up. Me neither. Reggie needed to sit today, though. Yeah, if you want to criticize quickly, or yeah, Freudian slip, if you want to criticize Tibbs for something today, the thing I'll criticize him for is I think he could have sat Reggie more and earlier. That said, who do you bring in? Because if you're telling me you're going to bring in Quickly, we have not seen Emmanuel Quickly do anything this series. He's done nothing. You want to tell me? What do you want to tell me? You bring in Frank? You know, I mean, all due respect. All due respect. I just, you know, you can look down the bench all you want. I don't know if the answer is going to be there. Jaden Sammy. I love you, Mac, but it's time to give Randall blame for a majority of these losses. Yeah, you can blame Randall. That's fine. I mean, Randall, listen, this series started with two all-star caliber players. One all-star caliber player, Julius Randle, is going to make an all-NBA team. Trae Young is not. Trae Young is coming out of this series looking like a superstar or somewhere between star and superstar. Julius Randle's coming out of this series looking like a guy who the playoffs were too big for him and the moment was too big for him. And I'm not going to say he's choking, but like, there's no question he's struggling. Absolutely. Listen, if you want to put the losses on Randle, put the losses on Randle. I guess the reason I'm being a little defensive of Randle is because I don't want this to turn into the narrative of, oh, the Knicks, this is fool's gold. Julius Randle was never going to be the player that we thought he was going to be at points in time this season. Trade him now or don't give him anywhere near a max contract. You know, guys, it takes some guys time to get used to the playoffs, the atmosphere, the whole thing. Randle's been terrible. Absolutely, he's been a big part of what's wrong. But at the same time, I thought he played well today. He didn't shoot well. I know I sound like Tibbs here, but what do you want me to tell you? Jeff Espreya, I can't give I got to go back up. Sorry. My God, you guys are active in the Super Chat. Thank you so much. I can't give in on such an amazing season yet, but this has been rough. It's been very rough. Today was painful. Definitely not the way I wanted to see a series loss develop. It's been an amazing season regardless. Future is bright as fuck. Love the Obi Toppin minutes today. I know Quickly struggled this series. I love the Obi Toppin minutes today, and I've loved the Obi Toppin minutes throughout the series. I was thrilled to see Tibbs finally go with the small ball five. And I hope he goes to it in game five, and I hope he doesn't wait until the second half until they're down. I hope he goes to it early in game five because it has shown to me worthy of being played. I know, you know, it's not perfect, but I'd like to see more of it. Kevin Danishevsky, Macri, I love what you do. I'm buttering you up a little bit because I know you're going to hate this take. If we get superstars, do we mark Jackson Tibbs? Nah, not yet. I love him, but we need to take the next step. Look, Tibbs is a good basketball coach. Is he a great basketball coach? Probably not, but how many of those are there? Steve Kerr was once called a great basketball coach. Guys wanted him fired this season. You know, Greg Popovich has been called a great basketball coach. He's been under 500 the last couple of years. Brad Stevens has been called the best basketball. He's been called more valuable than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Half of Boston wants to run him out of town. How many truly great coaches are there? You, at the end of the day, are as good as your personnel. And when you have limited, personnel, you're going to look like a worse basketball coach. I don't know where you want to go. I mean, he's been the best thing to happen to this franchise in 20 years, and you want to run him out of town because a better team is up 3-1 on you in the playoffs? And you lost game one by one possession? I'm not sure about that take. But at least you knew I wasn't going to like that take. So there you go. Stephens Galame, if we lose the series at the end of the day, we had a successful season. I'm not mad. I mean, I'm mad. I'm frustrated. But I don't know where am I supposed to yell and scream because Randall's been shit? It's not my nature. I get mad when we leave meat on the bone. And the only meat on the bone I feel like we left today is just the blowbys. The jumping pass guys on defense. I just hated to see that. As far as like the rotation stuff and like the missing threes and random missing shots, it is what it is. Leon C, thank you for your contribution to Super Chat, my friend. Disheartening loss, but this season has taught us to never count this team out. I'm not counting them out. Hoping to see our trademark grit and heart the next game. I think you will see, I know I've said this now how many times and I've been wrong. I think you will see a better effort, a commensurate effort, and a close game next game. I do not think they're going to blow out Atlanta, but I think they'll be in it. Jeremy Anselson, I don't expect Tibbs to adjust because he doesn't appear to believe in adjustments. But after four games, making Trae Young defend is somehow still not a priority. Again, guys, there's like small stuff they're trying to do. It's not working because they just don't have that. They don't have that personnel. They don't like Reggie Bullock does not put the ball on the floor. I know that sucks, but he doesn't put the ball on the floor. Alec Burks today tried to dribble every which way from Sunday. He wasn't going anywhere. Emmanuel Quickley, another guy. I know I mentioned it before, but like it's hard to when you unless you have, four guys or three or at least three guys you could put on the floor at once who can create problems for the other team by putting the ball on the floor. It's really hard to target a guy. And the Knicks just don't have that personnel. They have Rose and they have Randall. That's it. And I guess you could say they have RJ Barrett, who got going a little bit today. But, give the Hawks credit. They're doing everything they can to protect Trae Young. And what has it resulted in? It has resulted in open New York Knicks threes. And what are the Knicks doing when they get those open threes? They are missing them. Unlike all year, they are missing them. This is the second best three-point shooting team in the NBA this year, and they are probably, if not the last place three-point shooting team in the playoffs, they're damn close. It's not a recipe for success, and these are not bad threes. These are open threes. So when you talk about targeting Trae Young, sometimes the stuff that happens when you target him does not result in someone backing him down near the basket. Sometimes it results in someone else having an opportunity to do something. It's up to that player to do the thing, and they're not doing the thing. And I get that that's frustrating, but, again, it is what it is. Famous last words. Jason M., Randall was the worst player on defense today. I did not think Randall had a good defensive game. Hey. Daniel Soto, why does Tibbs refuse to see how Trank defends Trae? Because you're not going to stop Trae Young one-on-one. There's like three guys in the league who could stop Trae Young one-on-one. Matisse Thybulle, Drew Holiday, maybe Ben Simmons, although he's a little big for that. Marcus Smart would give him some issues. Frank's not that level of defender. I know we build him up to be that, but that's not Frank. I mean, we saw that at the end of game one. And I don't think he'd – I mean, Reggie Bullock, if we're being honest, Reggie Bullock is – I mean, what is he, a 5% worse defender than Frank? And I think just Tibbs trusts – Reggie Bullock a lot more on offense, and I don't blame him for that. I know Frank has hit whatever he's hit from three this year, but like, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that going 5 minutes at a time with Frank on the offensive end is the answer. But again, what do I know? I'm sitting here talking to you. What else we got? Ernst, I think it's okay for us to admit the Hawks are just more talented. I don't think anyone's disputing that. Than the Knicks are. We're arguably the least talented team in the playoffs. I don't know about that. But again, they have an identity. The Knicks haven't won. The Knicks haven't won this season because of their talent. They've won with their identity. And they're allowing the Hawks to disrupt their identity.
Steve Popper.
Let's see what Tibbs has to say.
Hey, Tom. You guys look like late in the first half, made a little run, and then second half, it looked like they just came
sort of like an avalanche at you guys. What did you see there, and kind of what are you facing now?
The first half, we had the lead after one. Hard fought the second quarter, and then third quarter. We got back on our heels. And the rebounding was a problem from the start. But we got to fix it. We got to fix it fast.
Steph Bondi?
Hey, Tom, how do you explain the difference between, what you guys did in the regular season, especially against the Hawks, and what's happening here?
The playoffs are different, we got guys that are getting experience for the first time, but we're capable, and, we got to go home and just be
that.
Play well in that game.
That's a mouthful.
Step by step.
We got guys that are getting experience for the first time.
Hi, Tom. What do you think of Julius's overall performance? He put up some numbers, didn't shoot that well. What was your big assessment? And what's the level of frustration right now for the club? It seemed late in the game there was some frustration.
No, it's just this is the playoffs, so there's intensity to it. I don't know if frustration is the right word. I would say maybe disappointment, but there's resiliency to this team. And, we have to fight back, and we will.
Ian Bagley?
Tom, I know it's not one guy, and you guys have said all year you need everybody. But when Julius is shooting like he did today in the previous games in this series, how tough is that? You guys to then come out and win.
Well, actually, I liked a lot of the plays that Julius made today. And
I agree.
And I've felt this all along, and it's sort of Julius's makeup. As he goes through things, he always gets better and better, and that's who he is. And so as long as he's making quick decisions, good things are going to happen. And I looked at, the shot quality in the first half. As we hold the ball and they allow them to load up, it's going to be, we'll get tough shots. But if we make quick decisions, you're open, shoot, not make a play. Keep it moving. Just make a quick decision. Can't hold it. Can't dance. We got to move it. And I thought he did a great job with that. And we got to play an all around game, though. We got to play both sides of the ball. We have to rebound the ball. We have to play defense. But I liked a lot of the looks that we got, particularly in the first half.
Mike Borkanov?
Tom, you were talking before the game about how the Hawks are able to get, shooting around Trey on the floor. Do you want to see if you can add more shooting, more offense on the floor? I know you went small at the end of the game there. Do you want to try to juice that a little bit?
And the one thing is, as you know, we shot the three great all year. And so I think the big thing for us is to make quick decisions, and when we do that, we're capable of making those shots. And I don't want guys hesitating. You've done it throughout the course of the season. You've shown how capable you are. Keep it simple, open, shoot it, guard it, make a play.
Bobby Childs,
Coach, Nerlens has been a warrior for you all year, but I know he has a bad ankle out there. Are you seeing anything in his game in terms of slowing down? And would you consider giving Obi some more minutes to compensate for it?
Yes.
Well, right now we're at the point where everything's on the table, and Nerlens is a warrior. He's given us everything he has. We have great belief in him. He's nicked up, but he's out there fighting. The shot block and the rim protection is critical. So give us what you have.
Steve Popper.
Hey, Tom, on the other end, defensively, it looked like Trey, when they've got the shooters who are hitting the threes around like they did the last two games, is there an answer for him right now, or is he just making the right decisions?
Yeah, when you have great players, you have a great player like that, you got to guard him with your team. And anytime you put two on him, that means that someone's going to be open. And you got to make sure that you're moving on the flight of the ball. We have to have high hands. There's a number of things that are tied into that. And then we got to fly around. And we got to be active.
Their recovery was not good today.
We challenge shots. Then our chances will be better. But, it's just taking a look at the film, coming back, having a will, a determination, a fight, and be ready to go.
Last question, Steph Bondi.
Hey, Tom, if we were Reggie Bullock going scoreless today, you know, what happened there and how, you know, how detrimental was that to the offense?
Well, I mean, he only had, I think, 3 or 4 shots. And so, you know, we're asking him to do a lot. You know, he's in a lot of actions offensively, but he's guarding Trey. You know, you're using a lot of energy there, you know, so, but same thing with him. But, you know, when he's open, we want him shooting. And so, you know, he'll find his way. He's a great pro. You know, he'll be ready.
All right.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep. Good comment to restart the stream with Herman HC. I feel like everyone needs to calm down. We've lived through 17 wins in Phil Jackson. Randall is still a great player. The future is still looking great. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like to sit here and sing kumbaya after you lose by almost 20 points in a playoff game. That's not my intention. But at some point, you know, accepting your limitations as a team, there was nothing that anybody could have done other than obviously make more shots that was going to lead to a win today. You know, not when the Hawks are shooting like that, not when Trae Young is as in command of his game as he is. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to get more talent. And they're going to continue to get better. The young players are going to continue to get better. I think Julius will continue to get better. There's no reason to think he can't. So that is what we hope for, at least. Kevin Danishevsky, to follow up on my take, I love Tibbs. I'm just wondering what the next step is after the series and how, like, Dame would gel with Tibbs' mentality. I think, listen, Tibbs wants to win. This is why I got on Twitter after the Clippers went down 0-2. I probably said something about, you know, Kawhi, and some people were like, oh, never in a million years would Kawhi and Tibbs gel because, you know, Kawhi likes to take days off. Like, listen, Tibbs wants to fucking win. Tibbs will fucking walk on his hands if it'll mean winning. He doesn't give a shit how he wins. He wants to win. You give him players, he will accommodate the players as he needs to. Every great player, with the exception of one, and I'm not sure we call him a great player yet because he hasn't done shit yet, and you know who I'm talking about. Every great player who has had Tibbs as his coach fucking swears by him. Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, now Julius Randle. You know, it's like Taj said it a year before Tibbs was hired. If you want to win, Tibbs is your guy. But you got to have a commitment to winning. And I think anybody who wants to come here, as long as they have a commitment to winning, that's going to be fine. I think Kawhi wants to win. I think Dame wants to win. Kevin McEwen, you're the man. Appreciate that contribution. Zolo J, still holding some hope that maybe going back home with our backs against the wall will light a fire under our guys. 3 wins, they could do it. Listen, you got to get 1 win at a time. Right now, they don't look good enough to beat the Hawks. I think they'll give a great effort at home. You know, are they going to win the game? I have no idea. Could they win it? Sure. Could they win game 6 in Atlanta? Sure. I wouldn't put anything past any of them. Thanks for not dreading Knicks fans trying to pile on the Knicks as suspect. Despite struggling, Randall Barrett stepped in the right direction. Roll this into strong performances, win at MSG. Great for growth. Yeah, and again, this is one of those takes that I'm sure – some people will hear and be like, you're really just not very bright. But I thought their performance, at least on the way they went about going about their offense today, was better than they went about going about their offense on in game 3. I thought their defense was much better in game 3. I thought their defense was much sloppier today. And I thought, despite the fact that their defense was better in game 3, the Hawks still hit a million threes, but I don't think there was anything the Knicks could have done about that. But I thought on offense that they were better today. Now, if you could put together the two things and you get a commensurate performance on offense where they're trying to do the stuff that they were doing today, and you even heard Tibbs today say he liked their offense in the first half, you just got to hit shots. Combine that with hitting some shots, combine that with a commensurate defensive effort. And I know I'm saying if. Well, guess what? That's what the Knicks need to do to win. They need to everything to go right. That's how they won 41 games, because they always bring their A game. They bring their A effort. And when the things go right and they bring their A effort, which is almost all the time, they're going to win some games. You know, so there it is. Okay. We're getting back to it. I'm going to try to get through all the other super chat stuff before the next player comes on here. I got the not dreading. Thank you. Okay. Randall contested long twos are just a turnover. I mean, I don't think he's taken a ton of contested long twos. To me, the baseline fadeaway, I've said it a few times, he's literally hit that shot more than anybody in the league this year. That's not a contested two in my book. To me, when he's getting real contests, when they're putting two on the ball, I think he's making the right play. I don't think Randall shot the ball on a double team all series unless he's driving it into two guys, where, you know, I'm more okay with that because I feel like he hits that shot a lot. It's just not falling right now. But again, those are shots from like 1 or 2 feet in, and good things tend to happen when you put pressure on the rim. It's just not happening this series. Mark Ham, you said it all along, John. If Randall wasn't on this team or not showing up, we would struggle. They'd have 21 wins. Here's the proof. I'm still not worried about the team going forward. Obi's a keeper. Stay positive. You know me. I'm staying positive all the way. Until I see something that makes me not stay positive. Robert McGinley, hard to guard, but we're allowing Trey to be too comfortable. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. When he was in foul trouble, we should have gone at him on defense. We need to get more physical. I mean, you know, Randall went up with the elbow that was overturned to an offensive foul on John Collins. I mean, shit, I wish someone would throw an elbow at Trae Young. You know, I don't know if that's going to get me canceled by saying that, but like, you know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I really wish, you know, make him feel it. And you're right. You're absolutely right. If there is a critique so far, it is that they're not making him feel it. And you got to make that guy feel it. You have to make that guy feel it. I don't disagree with that at all. I don't know. Is that on Tibbs? Is that on the players? Is that on whatever? Not to say that the Knicks aren't being tough. I think they're being tough. But, like, you know, the guy's carving you up. The guy's carving you up. It's just, I don't know what else you could do. The Truth NBA. We have to go small and open up the offense, switching everything on defense and tell guys to play Trey straight up. Let him take contested threes and twos. I mean, yeah, they switched a lot more today. That was their adjustment today. They switched a ton. And they were shading with help when Trae Young started to drive. And then they weren't getting back quick enough on the three-point shooters, or they were flying by and letting them reposition and shoot fire away. There's no great answer against this guy. It's just, you know, I don't know what they ranked in offense on the whole year, but if you saw this Hawks team and they were relatively healthy with this core for the whole season, and you had Nate McMillan as the coach for the whole season, this would easily have been a top five offense in the NBA. No question in my mind. Zero question. So as far as I'm concerned, we're facing one of the better offenses in the league. Where they're losing the series is, the Knicks are losing the series is because the Hawks have been able to exert their will on defense. And again, to a certain extent, it goes back to just not hitting shots. Emil Bumansor. I think our defensive scheme is getting exposed. Maybe not exposed, but the closing out gamble is not paying off. I'm not a coach, but that's my two cents. So now we've seen four games. They've given up 107, 91, 105, and 113 points. You know, depending on what happens today, they will probably, the Knicks, will enter tomorrow with, my guess is, the fifth or sixth ranked defense out of 16 teams in the playoffs. It's really, look, the Hawks are making the most out of their personnel, and we have not been able to figure out a way to counteract that. The only thing is, I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is, other than to knock Trae Young on his ass. I don't know. Forgotten NYC. Season is still a success, but you can't go from missing the playoffs for 8 years to winning a playoff series in 1 year. Baby steps. I mean, it's hard. And look, that's why I thought the most introspective thing or enlightening thing that Tibbs said was when he says a lot of guys are getting playoff experience for the first time. I think that's real. And again, all due respect to other than Taj and Rose, who have been through real, real playoff like journeys, a lot of these other guys, like, being on this Knick team, making the playoffs for the first time in however many years, like all the pressure that comes with playing in this city and the whole thing, I absolutely think guys are feeling it. Burks, Bullock, Randall, they're feeling it. 100%. But you just have to hope they grow from it. Slacker Hero. Everyone needs to relax and remember how much the Knicks overachieved this season. I agree. It's okay to be frustrated, though. I'm frustrated, too. Everybody should be frustrated. It's frustrating to see a team that has played so well and made us so happy make us so goddamn disappointed. And that's the right word for it to me. I am disappointed and frustrated, but it's just not doom and gloom for me. It sucks that a memorable season ends in disappointing fashion. It hasn't ended yet. But the future is bright, guys. This has been a good year. Yeah, I don't think anything that happens on Wednesday is going to change that, but we'll see. Zach Horowitz, my wife. I'm just glad I don't have to look at Trae Young's ugly little squirrel face anymore. So my mom was here today visiting for this game. Don't blame her, please. And she said she thought he looked like a weasel, which I think is accurate. I think there is a little weaseliness to Trae Young. He's not an attractive man. So, thank God he could play basketball. She knows how to cheer me up. Cheers, Macri. This is just the beginning. I agree. Always good to hear from you, Zach. I apologize if you've sent me a DM or if anybody here has sent me a DM in the last week or so. I've been extraordinarily lackadaisical, to use a Clyde word, in getting back. But I promise it's not because I'm sitting around on my ass. M.L. Nair. Bullock put up little resistance to Young on D and offered zero on offense. I wouldn't say he put up little resistance to Young. I think they switched a lot. I think the Knicks switched a little bit too readily for my liking on some of those possessions. But again, that seemed to be the game plan. Trying something new. Didn't really work. I thought he gave a good effort on defense. I'm not going to, and again, I don't know what Trae Young's final stat line was, but it didn't look like Trae Young was getting whatever he wanted. He hit some deep threes. Nothing you could do about that. Didn't really get off the floater a lot. IQ is passing on shots he normally would take in the regular season. 100% on that. I thought Quickly was going to have a really nice series after game one. And he's just absolutely – I mean, his minutes have been bad the last three games. His minutes have been bad. Burks' minutes have not been good. Bullock has not been good on offense. Again, it goes back to sometimes guys just don't perform. Dominic Milford. Really sad at all of y'all in the chat hating on Macri right now. Oh, God, I'm used to it. Don't worry about that. In my opinion, it exposes bandwagon fans. Macri, your analysis was similar to mine. We played better. Look, being a fan, there's no rule book to how to be a fan. If you want to yell and scream and be mad and think I'm, an idiot or an apologist or whatever, I mean, that's what it is. It certainly won't be the first time. But what I will always do is I will come on here and I will be honest with you guys. Even if you don't particularly care for what I have to say. And again, I know when to yell and scream about an embarrassing team because I've watched the last 20 years of Knicks basketball. It's been really bad. I know what embarrassing looks like. This is not embarrassing. This is getting beat by a team that's really good and is really just, it's playing well right now, and that sucks. That sucks. But I don't know. Embarrassing is not the word that I would use. What else we got? Eugene and Yalsa. Thank you again, by the way. I'm trying to get through these as fast as possible, so I'm not thanking people as profusely as perhaps I normally would, but thank you very much, everybody, for your contributions. Gino from Texas, need any more example that Tibbs ain't a great coach? Look at Austin Rivers in Denver. Oh, God, I can't with this. And Tibbs choosing Elf instead. Trust me, Elf outlasting Austin Rivers on this team was not a Tibbs decision. How's that working out for it? LOL, shouts to Mommy Peyton. I don't know what to do with that one. Again, if you think that Austin Rivers was the answer for the series, I don't know what to tell you. Jonathan Chavarez, how much do we miss Mitch right now? I can't speak enough to how much Mitchell Robinson I think would be changing the series. Not only on defense, because he would, but on offense, he gives them another dynamic. I mean, obviously, Taj, I haven't mentioned Taj once. I thought Taj was Taj their best player today? I mean, Rose was probably the best player on the whole because of what he did on offense in the first half was so valuable. But I think probably top to bottom, I think Taj Gibson was probably their best player today. That said, yeah, we miss Mitch. Noel is not himself right now. Noel is not really giving them. I thought he battled. I thought he got a couple big rebounds. He's hobbled. Mitch would make a difference. He would give them a lob threat. I mean, there was that one ball that Randall hit Noel under the basket, hit his hands and bounced off. And it's just, you know, Mitch gets that's an alley-oop for Mitch.
Hi, everyone. Joel is here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll mute you. Justin Walters.
Hey, Julius. In a do or die situation, how tough is it to balance making drastic changes versus doing what got you here?
I think it's always, you know, you get a playoff start, it's going to be about adjustments. So, make adjustments. Tibbs will look at the film. You know, he's a great coach. He's going to see what works, what doesn't, and just go from there. But at the end of the day, it's one game at a time, and that's all we can focus on. We got game 5 back at home to defend the series, and that's really all we can focus on.
Hey, Popper.
Julius, you guys obviously, you know, hung in there in the first half today, and then it kind of snowballed a bit in the second half. What did you see different there, and was there some frustration for you at the end?
I think this whole series, you know,
got to quiet.
It's chasing.
Third, Eric Sanson turned up. They got it towards more. So we gotta come back and recognize that, change it in the fourth quarter. Y'all know I got a very good Reggie leader is my team. Can't let that happen. So, wasn't trying to hurt him. But, you know, you gotta, in situations where whatever it is, take a hard foul or whatever. Just let them know that, you know, we're not accepting this.
Mark Berman?
I'm scared.
Julius, I mean, your shot line doesn't look great, but you seem more decisive. Were you a little happier with how you performed and still disappointed that it wasn't enough?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was just to be more decisive. Just continue to trust all the work that I put in. This is a mix, really don't matter. Just continue to trust the work that I put in. So just be more decisive. I think I have something to build on. And obviously, it always sucks. You know, you want to come out with the win. So you never are satisfied regardless of individual performance. You want to win games. That's the goal. Like, I'd rather play bad and just win than opposite. So regardless, I have to be a lot better. I have to continue to be a lot better. So I'm learning experience and continue to get better.
series. We continue to get better as a team, regardless. We got game five at home, and that's where y'all like to focus on work.
Mike Porcanoff.
Julius, has it been, I guess, an adjustment just to seeing how teams are playing you, how the Hawks are playing you in the playoffs and the different, I guess, degrees that they go to as opposed to what you face in the regular season? Has that kind of triangulation on how to defend you caused any issues?
It's all adjustment, man. Like I said, every day is a learning experience. To take a game at a time, it's going to learn. Continue to get better. Take everything I learned from these four games, apply to game five, and just take it there.
Steph Bondi.
Hey, Julius, obviously teams have come back from 3-1 before in the playoffs. What do you think about this team's chances?
I like our chances. Yeah. I like our chances, but it also like the game five. So I think that's all we can really focus on. But to answer your question, I love our chances.
Last question, Ian Bagley.
And Julius, you mentioned that this is a learning experience, obviously, your first postseason. What have you learned about the playoffs through the first four games for you?
Just the intensity of the game plan, the adjustments, the functional load, those, and all that type of stuff. So, for me, it's great. Most people maybe get discouraged or whatever it is. I'm just trying to stay even keel. I get encouraged by learning because it's only going to make you better. Last year, coming from what I came from, the experience last season, come back this season was a learning experience. This whole postseason thing is going to be a learning experience. And I'll come back better and be better next game for however long we play. So it's not over. It's not nearly over. Come back, like I said, game five, and take it from there, man.
So I don't know. I'm a sucker for this stuff, but I don't.
Recording stopped.
He does not seem like a guy who is done mentally, physically, emotionally, any of those things. For anybody who couldn't hear, Julius, a little bit of a low talker. Shh, gotta be quiet if you're gonna say. He was saying series isn't over. It's been a learning experience. He's taking it all one step at a time. He's trying to learn from all of this. He's saying all the right things, but he does not sound like a guy who is – doesn't sound like a guy who's discouraged. He sounds like a guy who's just pissed off that the team is down 3-1. So we'll see what happens. I thought he found some stuff today. We'll see if it comes out that way. Jason M., silver lining is it will cost less to re-sign our free agents. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but we'll get there, right? Going back up here, promise I'm getting everybody. Thank you again so much for everybody who contributed and has been so great. And doesn't mind my daughter hanging out too. Zolo J, we need to calm down about Randall. He was bad last year, but he worked his butt off. He did. This first playoff experience can be more fuel to him to come back stronger next season. Listen, if this is going to get Julius to sign the max contract that he could sign, max extension he could sign this offseason, which is about 4 years, $120-something million, man, I don't think he will, but if it does, I would sign him for that in a heartbeat. Because if he has another year next year like he did this year in the regular season, no one's going to care what he did in this playoffs. He's going to – or next playoffs for that matter. He's going to be a full max player. Miles Roach, Tibbs and Julius should be praised for leading us this far. I agree. We need to upgrade the supporting cast, Reggie, Elf, Noel, to take the next step. This team needs upgrades. We've talked about this all year. I don't think I need to belabor the point. Elf aside, that goes without saying, but they need a real shot creator on the perimeter. They don't have it yet. They'll get it. They'll get it. Frank M. Ortiz. Folks, remember that this is a rebuilding year. Yeah, most rebuilding years don't end in four seeds. The Hawks have had an obscene true shooting percentage in the series. Yes, they have. How long will that continue? I do want to note, I think it was Seth Partnow tweet. I retweeted it. The Knicks expected field goal percentage in the last game versus the Hawks expected field goal percentage in the last game was about the same. Obviously the Hawks shot it much better. I imagine today's disparity will be a little bit larger, but I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. The Hawks are just, you know, again, they're making shots. They're making shots. We're not. I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but let me tell you. Chad Cohen, as we know, let's just realize the Hawks were in a different spot and had to spend money in the offseason where we are just starting. Imagine if they had Luka. Yeah, I don't know if the Hawks are ever going to live that one down, but Trae Young's pretty damn good. He's going to make a lot of all-star teams. Robert Cross. We stand. Yes, Robert. Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it. Really very generous of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are you talking to yourself? Kevin McEwen. People got to chill. Do you think people should chill? You don't think people should chill? Yes, you do. Okay. Do they remember Fizdale, Hornacek, freaking Rambis? This is a process, and processes are about growth. Randall needs help. Yes, he does. He's in case it isn't obvious, let me just say, to be clear, everything still comes down to Randall in this offense. Everything still comes down to Randall. He's struggling. There's no two ways he's struggling, but it's all on him. Even Trey has help with Bogey, but Trey's outplayed him. I don't want to make any uncertainty about that. Need a point guard and a 3-and-D, two guard, three forward. Proud of him getting this far in New York forever. It is still not over. Still not over. I know you don't think it's over, Kevin, but it's still not over. Brian Benjamin. Tim's got to go all in on offense and run. Bench Reggie and Taj. Start Obi and Burks. Can't let Trey do nothing on defense. Trey is doing nothing on defense. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him work more, but how do you do that? What personnel do you do that with? Okay, you want to tell me bench Reggie, then you lose Reggie's defense. So then how do you make up? Then you really have to make up for that on offense. I don't know that Burks has given me enough evidence in this series to make me think that he deserves those minutes. The guy I would love to be able to say is Quickly. I would love to be able to sit here and be like, give Quickly the run. But again, I haven't seen it yet. You want to tell me go small? I'm fine with going more small ball, playing Obi more. Talk about a guy who looks ready for prime time. Obi Toppin looks ready for prime time. I'd love to see more Obi and Randall together next game. ML Nair. Randall and RJ played better on offense, but they and the entire team on defense gave up too many easy baskets, relaxing late in the clock. Yeah, the late clock stuff killed you today. The Collins, too, the desperation shot over Randall. I mean, I thought Randall played good defense, but yes. Hunter had a couple tough looks today, one that stands out in my mind over RJ. There were a couple threes. I mean, yeah, 100%. It's all fair. All fair. The defense was not good today. It was not good. What else we got? What else we got? What else we got? We're almost there. I think we're almost there. Yeah. Wow. Okay. A lot of comments in the super chat, probably about this one here. Okay, Michael Aaron, my man, Michael Aaron. How you doing, buddy? It's exciting to see how much better Obi looks. The lights aren't too bright for him. I completely agree. Also, RJ had a good game. RJ started out a little rough. He ended up with a really nice game. I was very happy with how RJ played. A couple iffy moments on defense, as we just touched on a moment ago. But RJ is going to be – if we want to go back big picture – and just to finish the comment, he deserves credit for stepping up strong. If we want to go back big picture, if you would have told anybody before the season that three first or second year players in RJ, Obi, and Quickly were going to be getting valuable minutes in the playoffs, and that the going through this firestorm, RJ was going to start to come out of it, which we hope this is just the start of things to come in the series, hopefully, which lasts more than another game. Obi playing like he has, and even just Quickly, even if he doesn't play better than he has already, just getting the experience. That's massively important for where this franchise is at this point. So, again, if we're thinking big picture, great stuff. Dan Alcinat, I miss Mitch. I miss Mitch too, Dan. And, Kevin Danishevsky, before we get to RJ. Completely agree with your positivity.
Recorded batter material. If you have a question, raise your hand.
Give me a sec.
Jonathan Macri.
Hey, RJ, it looked like you kind of found something out there today on offense. I just want to know, is that an accurate statement? And how are you feeling going into game five at home?
I'm always confident no matter what. was aggressive. Coach told me to be aggressive, and I was able to do that. Just want to get a win.
Steve Popper?
Okay, just what you see from these two games here. They kind of, you know, ran away with it late in the second half today. What went wrong there, and what do you think you guys can fix that quickly for game five?
Last game, I think it was second quarter. Today was the third quarter. We just gotta fight. 48 minutes. We just gotta play hard, and you know, we can't let them go on those runs. You know, I think they went on a little bit up and one at the end of the second, but then we were able, you know, to stop that. And in the third, when they went on their run, we weren't able to, you know, really stop it. So we just gotta, you know, we gotta be aggressive. I think we were aggressive in the first half. You know, we got good results.
Jenna Limoncelli?
Smart aggressive.
Hi, RJ. Today was your best offensive performance of the series so far. Can you kind of assess that performance and what clicked for you and what was different down the stretch?
I just played hard. I didn't really think about it. I just played. You know, I know how to play basketball. And like I said, the coach told me to be aggressive to beat myself, so that's what I did.
Jimmy Harris?
RJ, you guys shot 9 for 29 from 3 today. How much has Atlanta's length and quickly closing down your airspace impacted your team's 3-point shooting?
Good question.
We can shoot. We've been doing it all season. You know, we've been doing it all season. We've been making shots all season. You know, some reason today we drop a couple games. That's fine. Got to be able to, you know, still win without, you know, making all our shots.
Makes life tougher, though.
Are you working out?
RJ, do you feel like you guys have been kind of putting enough of a defensive onus on Trey during these games? Is that something you want to do for game five to make them work harder on the defensive end?
First of all, I mean, they have a lot of guys. It's not just Trey. But they have multiple guys playing well, so it's kind of, you know, a whole team. You got to guard the whole team. But you know, we'll figure it out. You just go back, watch film, and we'll figure it out.
Thank you, RJ.
Do you like RJ Barrett? Yes, I like RJ Barrett.
Recording stopped.
Back to Kevin's comment. One thing that's gotten swept under the rug a bit, I actually think RJ was our best player today. Yeah, I mean, either him or Taj. Regardless of what happens, I'm really excited for the future. Sorry, I wish I could have read that comment before I spoke to RJ. And I think we got one. My God, I've been on here for – what are you doing? Been on here for almost an hour. Mark Ham, that's one – that one's for Scarlet Ray. I hope I got the spelling right. You did get the spelling right. It's R-A-E, not R-A-Y. Piggy Bank for coming over to cheer her dad up after that game. All right, on that note, yeah, I'm going to give one – I'm almost done, okay? I will say one before I get out of here. I don't want the season to end like this. I don't want the season to end on a down note. I don't want the season to end with anybody feeling anything less than positive about what this team has been able to accomplish. I understand there's always things that you could do better. And if I get on here and I'm being, you know, defensive of Tibbs or, you know, Randall or whoever, you know, it is because I do always try to look on the bright side. At the same time, you know, it's impossible to do a perfect job. And any adjustment that we could sit here and be like, do this, do that, do the other thing, you know, there's always a counter to that. And they're trying stuff. It's just, you know, Atlanta's got some moves it could make. And, man, this was still an 8-point game. This was still an 8-point game or a 7-point game, whatever it was, with under 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. And, man, frustrating as all hell. Because you really don't want it to end. And I don't want it to end. You don't want it to end. Nobody wants it to end. And you want it, if it does end, you want it to end on a high note. So, oh, we got Taj. Okay. Let's stay for Taj. Let's stay for Taj.
Now we got Taj.
Taj Gibson's here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll unmute you. Mark Brevin.
Hey, Taj.
Mark.
I mean, just your predicament right now. How do you sum it all up right now, where you are?
Just ready to get back to the Garden, ready to get back to New York City. We grew. Just ready for, just get back to the Garden, ready for the next game.
Steph Bondi.
As I saw you and Trey going back and forth with each other, I think it was the first half. What was going on there? And what'd you make of some of the extracurricular stuff happening tonight?
It's just basketball, man. We all co-workers, we all in the NBA, we all know each other all the time. You know, it's just basketball, man. It's just in the moment. It's good for the sport. It's nothing too serious. It's all competitive. That's all it is. No extra curricular. It's just this guy's, when you see the same team over and over again, it's going, things like that are going to happen. You're fighting to get to the next round. It's just emotions. Physicality of the game, different things like that. It's all beautiful parts of the basketball experience. And just getting a chance to see it. We don't really try to make nothing of it. It's just the sport.
Steve Hopper.
Because obviously, you're seeing a different Hawks team than what you guys saw in the regular season. What do you see that you think can be corrected so quickly to turn this after these two games?
Well, I'll leave that to the guru, head coach.
The guru.
The operation, I'll leave it to him and the coach's staff to really watch the film and dissect the stuff. But at the same time, we got to make our corrections. That's a healthy, fully healthy team. They got a lot of guys with a lot of confidence right now, playing really hard at our level. But that's playoff basketball. We just got to make corrections and get the next one.
Mike Korkanoff.
Hey Taj, Tibbs has said multiple times kind of the difference between playoff and regular season basketball. For Julius specifically, do you think that's kind of a lesson that he's learning now and how to adjust to the way the teams play him and, as you said, playing teams over and over again?
That's part of it, but I think looking at the group, this is a lot of their first times playing in the playoffs. You got to make adjustments. Just learning up on the curve, you know what I'm saying? I think.
Interesting.
That's a part of it.
He mentioned the same thing that Tibbs did.
You watch film.
First time in the playoffs, guys got to learn.
We got to do. There's not more I can really tell you. You playing the same team over and over again. It's really physical. It's really tough. A lot of corrections being made. Just the best of the best. It's a really high level from the moment you step on the court. The moment that first minute goes by, your adrenaline is pumping. It's playoffs. It's a great experience for him. And he's just learning the curve. I think everybody on our team is really learning the curve and just looking forward to the next game.
Bobby Childs.
Taj, you guys have been a good rebounding team for the season. What are you seeing on the rebounding side? You were out rebounded again tonight.
The rebound, I don't really think about it like that. I think,
not again. This is the first night they were rebounded.
The rebounding battles go up and down. You say we win at home, they won a couple of years, but they in the game. But it all comes down to really just knowing what the other guys trying to do. They got some lot of loose balls. They were just all over the place, as you expect them to be, especially at home. We were playing pretty good, but you just got to learn how to stay focused. And that's part of playoff basketball. You get a lead, got to keep it. And you got to just slowly work the game. And it's all a part of it. It's all a part of just the learning curve of our team. And guys are optimistic. We've been counted down the whole year, so this is really nothing new. We're just looking forward to the next game.
Last question, Justin Walters.
Hey, Taj, just following up on that, you mentioned you're looking forward to the next game and coming back to New York City. Do you think that playing at the Garden, 16,000 cheering you guys on, could give you guys a boost?
I hope so.
They gave us a boost the first two games, of course, but at the same time, we have to give them a reason to cheer and give us a boost. They've been a sixth man for us, but at the same time, it's up to us to make the corrections, come out with the right kind of energy, and do what we have to do. Atlanta's not just going to come in and just lay down. They're a really talented team. They've been playing extremely well the last couple of games, so it's up to us to just handle, do what we have to do and try to bring this team back to Atlanta.
Thank you, Taj.
Thank you.
All right. The one and only Taj Gibson. Well, you heard him. They're optimistic. So if Taj Gibson's optimistic, I'm going to be optimistic. And I think that is about all that I have to say about that. My daughter's on one today. Thank you, everybody, for coming and contributing. Thank you, everybody, who obviously contributed to the Super Chat. Thank you, everybody, who came and watched. Don't forget, we'll be here before and after Game 5, of course, because where else would we be? We got a new podcast with myself and Jeremy Cohen dropping on Tuesday. Check out the YouTube. If anybody still wants some merch, I know it's maybe not in the buying spirit right now because they're down, but hey. We still here, New York. We still here. I think that's it. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. And I'll see y'all in a couple days. All right. Adios.